welcome back. In part three, you'll visit a boutique distillery, go to Powell's City of Books, and learn about equipping the boudoir in ways you wish you hadn't. This is the traveling radio show Goes to Portland, featuring the music of Portland's very own Three-Leg Torso. How to start another day in Portland. We're heading over to Clear Creek Distillery, where the art of making Oregon fruit brandy has been practiced and perfected over many years by Steve McCarthy, whose family still raised the very fruit used in these fine fruit brandies. Well, we're standing outside of Clear Creek Distillery, established 1984, open for tastings. Perfect way to start the day.
Yeah.
It says ring bell to enter.
Okay. And I think it went off in China somewhere.
Shall we look around?
Delighted.
This is the tasting room.
We are really more like a winemaker than a spirits maker. We take the fruit, whether it's the pear or the blue plum or the cherry, and we crush and ferment whole fruit. Whatever is in this bottle in terms of flavor is only there because the pears we started with had it.
Of course, I'm sure you've been asked this before, but small bottle, big pear.
So we put this bottle on the tree, and we put the branch in with the baby pear and tie it on the tree. And then we grow the pear inside the bottle, and we have a three-step scrubbing process. We scrub the pear, we scrub the bottle, we scrub the inside of the bottle, and we rinse it, and then we rinse it again, and we rinse it again, and then we fill it with brandy. Can I pour you some stuff?
I'd love to taste something, of course. Yeah.
Many of the very good European eau de vie of pear have a slightly grainy, slightly hot finish, and this does not.
Hmm. This is lovely.
Thank you.
As Steve shows us around behind the scenes in the factory, I can't help but notice the Porsche right in the middle of the floor. And what part of the process does your Porsche play?
This is where I sit and I pour pear brandy on and I take a bath.
One of the places that you've probably heard of is Powell's Books, an enormous, packed, amazing venue for books and all things literary. We're not going there. I mean, we meant to go there, but we've bumped into an intriguing-looking little store a couple of blocks away called Spartacus, and it's our solemn duty to check these sorts of places out on your behalf. We're standing outside of Spartacus.
It was voted the best laundry and bedroom gear shop by Willamette Week's Best of Portland.
Let's go in.
You go first, I'll lead the way.
Yeah.
Really? Hi. Somebody told me you have a family room?
Well, this is all ages on this area. If you go behind the beaded curtain, you have to be 18 or older to be down there.
What happens now? We're behind the beaded curtain.
It's kind of self-explanatory, but if you would like, I'll go through it. We have all of our lubricants and condoms, bachelorette items, water sports. Again, pretty self-explanatory.
Not so much. I like the categories.
We try to make sure that everybody understands. We have a really good selection of silicone toys, which is always awesome for the whole skin-safe latex issues. The iVibe Rabbit, one of our best sellers. Vibratex lines.
I've heard of the Rabbit.
The
Very
Rabbit
popular,
is one of the best sellers, yeah. Whips, crops, floggers, sexy collars, thigh harnesses, wearing harnesses, suspension harnesses, and a full array of bondage gear.
Wow. That's really the only thing I can say is... Wow.
We try to keep a pretty good instructional category just because of the type of products that we carry. We want everybody to know how to utilize them safely.
You don't want to get hurt.
Exactly.
I mean, some people do want to get hurt.
Some people do. That's why they come here. But they want to get hurt safely.
So do you need anything?
Well, they had some nice whips over there. I think they're for horses.
Okay, now we can go look at Powell's Books. Flourishing since 1970, they sell used and new books, host endless readings, and have a rare book room, too. So we'll see if they'll let us in. So there's a rare book room? Are we allowed in there?
Uh-huh. You want me to take you up there?
Would you?
Yeah, love to.
Ooh, awesome. Right this way.
one of the most incredible books that we have in our collection. It's the Lewis and Clark Journal.
Commissioned by President Thomas Jefferson, the Corps of Discovery, led by Captain Meriwether Lewis and William Clark, began their two-year journey across the North American continent in 1804, and they created a remarkable journal about a land and its peoples that most of the Americans in the East had never heard of.
These are the journals of Lewis and Clark.
They actually were purchased by somebody in the year 1814. So this is actually what a settler would purchase in the year 1814.
This is quite remarkable. Listen to this. Sunday, the 5th, two of the five men who had been dispatched to make salt returned. They had carefully examined the coast. The Indians had treated them very kindly and made them a present of the blubber of the whale. It was white and not unlike the fat of pork, and on being cooked was found to be tender and palatable and in flavor resembling the beaver.
Ecola Creek.
Ecola Creek, oh, you know about this.
And nowadays they're doing recreations. These guys will get in period costume and go out and make salt.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Sure.
It's really great. And what a privilege to be able to lay hands on these and read from them and hear about them. Terrific stuff.
Lewis and Clark left a mark on this region that persists to this day. And you'll undoubtedly hear or see their names on any visit. To learn a bit more about Portland's specific history, we're on our way to the Oregon Historical Society to speak with Dick Matthews, the facility's director, and a born and raised Portland native.
Can you give me a quick overview of how Portland started and why it's here and how it's grown over the years?
Sure. You had all these rebel evangelical ministers that came out here. They were even too strict for the New England. And a lot of them came out here, of course, initially to minister to the Native Americans. But what they found out was the Native Americans obviously had a very sophisticated, evolved culture, and they were very polite people. And they would sort of hang out with anybody who was a sideshow. And after a while, the missionaries began to figure out, these guys aren't buying it, and we still have to make a living, so they turned to farming. Subsistence level farms in the various sub-valleys, the Tuolumne Valley, the Willamette Valley, all the rivers that feed into the Willamette.
Not the Willamette, the Willamette.
Willamette, right. And the Willamette, or the rivers, were the primary highways of commerce initially during the settlement era. That's how you moved your goods. Had to get to the market. In order to get to the market, you had to have a ship. In order to have a ship, you had to have a port. The town really started to grow with the arrival of the railroads, and the Northern Pacific Railroad brought a lot of people from Wisconsin and Minnesota, and they were woodsmen. A lot of them lived in and worked in the woods, and they were single men, a lot of them. And so Portland was kind of a hoorah town in its early days because you had a lot of single men would come into town periodically with a lot of money and looking for the usual recreation.
Portland took off when the railroads arrived in the 1890s, and waves of immigrants from the eastern U.S., China, and elsewhere changed and enriched this town through the 19th and 20th centuries. In recent years, Portland has become known as a young, creative, happening place, and the city pulses with energy.
Portland has this aura of being this groovy hip place of bicycles and green this and green that, and that's a very thin patina, actually. Below it are these other stratas of older Portlanders who have been here for generations and who live out in the old ethnic neighborhoods on the east side, you know, Italian-Americans, Irish-Americans, Germans, Poles, and then the newcomers, the Southeast Asians that came because of Vietnam. You have all the Russians that came with the breakup of the Soviet Union. And so you have these huge ethnic neighborhoods, and they have no connection to that, bikes and green and all that stuff. You know, that's a very superficial strata up on the top, and it gets all the press. You know, the quality of life in Portland was immeasurably improved when people from out of state came here and brought decent restaurants and arts and music, and then the people come here for those things and stay, artists especially. And, you know, there's a great music scene here. But those aren't Oregonians doing that, I'm here to tell you. I mean, I'm Native Oregonian, you know, and it's just the way it is. You know, Native Oregonians tend to be a little more, you know, dull in that regard.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Hey, they don't call us mossbacks for nothing.
And now, once again, for something entirely different, we're heading over to the Portland Roller Derby League, the Rose City Rollers. They have teams like the Axles of Annihilation and the Heartless Heathers. The league even has training for newcomers called the Fresh Meat Program. Our production assistant, Rochelle Schmidt, is tracking down Rita Riot, the captain of the Breakneck Betties, who refer to themselves as innocent but deadly.
Redneck Betties.
I am the infamous Rita Riot.
So why did you start playing?
Oh, you know, I saw that they were starting roller derby here in Portland. You know, maybe I could be a coach or a ref or help out. Instead, I wound up putting the Breakneck Betties together, captaining them to undefeated seasons for a couple years, and it's a lot of fun.
How is it you guys came about with the outfits? You're wearing fishnet. That's not a normal sport attire.
You know, you got crazy girls and playing roller derby, knocking each other around. I mean, we don't just leave our house wondering about, you know, how we're going to knock people down. It's really important to know what you're going to wear.
Maybe you can tell me why you think Portland would be such a great spot for roller derby.
It's just that underground crowd that comes out that loves those things about Portland that are super cool, and roller derby's one of them.
Number 70, yes, you know, the 7-year pitch. It's Portland, Monroe.
I'm hungry again. This happens a lot, but fortunately, Portland is renowned for its food carts, with whole parking lots given over to the exotic, excellent fare. When this trend comes to your city, know that it started here in Stumptown.
Things are smelling very good, right, in this area here.
A whole lot of different kinds of food going on here.
I've got Mediterranean food, rice and noodle, Suliyu Thai, Fernando's Mundo Fiesta.
Including the vegan food.
And a couple other places back there, one of them serving Vietnamese sandwiches, which are done on big, like, hoagie rolls with crunchy things and meat things. And
those are insects.
But they sizzle really well.
Yeah.
This is the Taqueria Villa Nueva.
Hola, hola.
Hola. You're way up there in the air.
Eh?
You're so high.
Sí.
Let's see, I would like dos tacos de pollo.
Dos tacos de pollo con todo?
Horchata. Contento.
Do you have Italian food?
No. Only Mexican food.
Now we're off to what is perhaps the mother of all Portland icons, the Starlight Parade. It's a big part of the Rose Festival, held each summer and rivaling anything of this sort anywhere. Before the parade actually gets underway, though, we visited the area, blocks and blocks of it near Old Town, where the bands and characters get ready, rehearse, and generally cavort with each other. It's quite a scene, and quite a cacophony. Shall we move on? Mm-hmm. There's nothing that way, it looks like.
But I saw a tree walking that way. I can show you a picture.
A tree?
Yeah.
This is Stumptown.
It wasn't a stump. It was.
You look confused.
Yeah, no.
Did you say, yeah, no?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
You know? Yeah, no. What up? That's what I have to say.
Hey.
Hey. Kay.
Hey.
Hey.
There's the tree.
Come on.
I'm serious. It's right there.
Sees a walking tree.
It's behind the real tree.
When they stand still for a minute, you can't tell.
Yeah, there is a tree.
There is a tree.
A non-traditional type of tree.
Yes.
It's a walking tree. This is frightening. You're a tree?
Right.
Wow. Did this happen overnight, or has this been a chronic problem?
A chronic problem.
Nice wind chimes. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Really nice wind
chimes. And then the bird beater on the... Can you hear the birds?
I can.
And then there's birds, two birds right here on the left.
Do they bother you a lot, or...
Yes.
What's the deal with the chipmunks?
They're looking for nuts for winter.
Thank you. Don't trip now. Be careful.
No.
Okay. You're a little dangerous in there, you know.
No. Plenty of room.
No, I mean for me.
Oh.
Every time you turn, I get hit with a branch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
All right.
You're a nice tree.
Yes.
I like that. Thank you, Mr. Tree.
Did
glad to help.
His bird sound
oh, yeah.
For
no.
He has a DVD player.
Oh, wait.
Here's a cob of corn right there next to the bees.
Excuse me. Are you an ear of corn?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah. Who are you?
You're in a corn suit and you're asking me who I am.
Yeah, right. I know. I can't see or hear anything.
Oh my gosh. Tree Man is down. Tree Man is down. Wait a minute. This is scary.
Oh, the birds got him.
This has been the Traveling Radio Show Goes to Portland. We'd like to thank Three Leg Torso for the fabulous music, the Vintage Plaza Hotel, everyone in Portland, and you, our listeners, without whom we'd actually be working for a living. Goodbye!